Good afternoon, everybody. And just so everybody, so no one asks me, yes, I've had a haircut, okay? So you don't need to ask me now. Yeah, which one? I only have three. If you've got your Bibles with you, Proverbs chapter 23, we'll look at that in a moment, but open your Bibles or your electronic devices or your smartphones or whatever you use to reference the scriptures and put your bookmark it or put your finger there and we'll get to that in a moment. So we're looking into our second week of our January pulpit series, which is called Small Things Make a Big Difference. And there's a great passage that epitomizes and exemplifies paying attention to detail, paying attention to the small things. Paying attention to the small things always make a big difference. And Songs of Solomon chapter 2 says, "Catch us up the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." In other words, to achieve a successful outcome, to achieve a full harvest, attention, the scripture says attention needs to be paid to the small things of life. Solomon's proverb is very, very practical. If you want a full and a profitable harvest, he says that to catch up the little foxes, the little fox cubs that suckle on the moisture of the tender blooms of the vines. Once the blossom, once those tender blossoms are destroyed, the vineyard harvest is lost. And in an ancient culture where these wise words were once said, there's a tremendous knock-on effect and a financial and a social effect that is totally unthinkable. But in today's application, Solomon is saying, catch up those little bad habits. Catch up those little sins. Catch up those addictions. Catch up those mindsets, because the small things of life make a big difference to the future of our life. Succeeding at big things has a lot to do with succeeding at little things, particularly our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And if you missed last week, we talked about the reality that sometimes when we look at somebody's life and they've got it all together, they're accomplishing something that seems to be out of our own reach. And sometimes we're incredibly intimidated and we think, I can't do those big things that could help me accomplish the big things that I want to do in my life. And the other thing we did last week was that we zeroed in on a key thought. And that key thought will take us through this whole pulpit series for the month of January. And here it is. The key thought is this. It's so often the small things that no one else sees that results in the big things that everyone else wants. Let's say it again. It's so often the small things that nobody sees that results in the big things that everybody wants. In fact, last week we zeroed in on one very small thing. And I ask you all to prayerfully seek God about one small word. One word that would drive the direction of your upcoming year. And it has been really exciting over this past week, how God has already spoken to some of you already. And if you're procrastinating or you weren't here last week, please go to the podcast website and download last week's message and get up to speed with where we were last week. And so that's on www.newstart.org.au. And I'm sure Stephen Lucas will get the podcasts moving ASAP. So, small things make a big difference, yeah? In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about our thoughts, which seem small, our words, which seem small, and our actions. So this evening, where we will embrace the truth that our thoughts matter tonight. Tonight we'll look at our thoughts matter. Our thoughts are so important because our thoughts influence our words, which influence our actions, which influence our habits, which, when is all said and done, end up creating a destiny and a future. So, tonight I want to talk to you about thoughts, our thoughts, which are very important, and they determine who we become. King Solomon said very important words in Proverbs chapter 23, in verse 7. I'm paraphrasing. He's saying, as a person thinks in their heart, so they become. As a person thinks in their heart, so they become. What King Solomon is saying is, he's saying, your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Okay? Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. In other words, if you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think life is going to be bad, it probably will be bad. If you think you don't have everything or anything to offer, then you probably will never make a difference. But on the other hand, if you think you can, you probably will. If you believe that there are opportunities out there, you will see those opportunities. If you believe that God is for you and with you, you will sense His power and His presence, because your thoughts matter tonight. As a person thinks in their heart, so they become. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So let's build a foundation for study this evening. And I want to encourage you to do a thought audit tonight, okay? I want you to think about what you think about, okay? So we're going to do that. So let's use some nifty graphics to help you to map out your thought audit. So on the charts, there will be some polar opposite thoughts, okay? Some polar opposite. And I want you to think about what you actually think about. The first chart we will look at is the worried thoughts, okay? Worried thoughts. So ask yourself, are most of your thoughts more focused on worry or peaceful thoughts? Think about that. Are your thoughts, most of your thoughts, focused on worry, or are they focused on peaceful thoughts? Would you say that you're more on the worried side? Maybe you're worried about your kids, or perhaps you're worried about your job, or maybe your health, or the health of somebody you love, or maybe you're worried about money because Christmas was just a total blowout. Or I don't know what it would be for you, but you find yourself more on the worried side of the ledger. If that's you, I want you to mentally circle a number somewhere on that sliding scale, okay? Or on the other side, you're incredibly peaceful, or you feel totally secure in the promises of God. That doesn't mean that you're not active in your life. You are active in your life, but there's this supernatural peace that goes beyond everybody else's ability to even understand. And even then, something bad might happen to you, but you're firmly understanding and your faith is firm, and you believe God is still in charge of all that, and it doesn't freak you out at all. Okay, so that means you're on the peaceful side. Okay, so there are two polar opposites there on that chart. So now I want you to mentally circle a number where you fall on that scale, okay? Okay, let's go to the negative and the positive chart. Now, think about what you think about. Some of you kind of have the spiritual gift of negativity, don't you? Yeah? Right? Come on. Don't blink at me like frogs in a hailstorm. Some of you do. You kind of find out what's wrong before you ever see what's right, yeah? You're easily critical of people, and you kind of assume the worst all the time. There's always a sense of discontentment, and so you find yourself on the negative side. Or you might be more on the positive side, and you just believe the best of people, okay? You believe the best about people. And when you walk into church, rather than picking it all apart, you see God working, and you can say, wow, this is a real special thing. I really like what's going on here. And you may have a difficult day, but just believe God is good, and He's going to get you through that day. And that's He's going to work all things to bring about good, and you're more on that positive side. And so the chart that we're looking at now, the purple one, you're more on the negative side perhaps, or you're more on the positive side. So go ahead and mentally put a circle around a number on that chart. Now let's talk about worldly versus eternal. Worldly, do you find your thoughts are always consumed with things and the things of life and things that are not eternal. You're thinking about what kind of car you drive, or what kind of clothes you're going to buy to match the shoes that you've got, or what people are going to think about you, what you say, or what you do, or do they like what you said, or what you do, how many likes you get on Facebook, or do people like your Instagram selfie, for instance, you know? Have you pulled a good enough fish mouth, you know, when you've done that? Duck lips or whatever, I don't know. So you're not thinking about bad things, okay? Just let me get that straight. You're not thinking about bad things, just more worldly things versus eternal things. So you don't wake up thinking about how you could be used in your life, how you could bring glory to God. You don't wake up thinking about that. You don't think about people that may be far from God and your heart aches for them. You don't think, how can I leverage the things that I have to make a difference in people's lives so to impact people with the love of God? They're the things you don't necessarily think about until you come to church on Sunday and get all religious. All right? So do you think you're more worldly, or do you think more eternal things? Okay. If you didn't circle 10, 10, 10, 10, guess what? Tonight, this message is absolutely for you, okay? Completely and absolutely for you. Why? Because our thoughts determine who we become. Our life always moves in the direction of our strongest thoughts. As a person thinks in their heart, so they become. And if you're consumed with worldly thoughts and worried thoughts and negative thoughts, then that means you're moving in that direction. Okay? Simple as that. If you're more about worldly things, worrying things, and negative things, you're moving in that direction. Your thoughts are taking you in that direction. If, on the other hand, you're consumed with peaceful thoughts and positive thoughts and eternal thoughts, that means you're moving in that direction. But let's be honest, none of us have marked ourselves with 10, 10, and 10, have we? Because our culture, our world, our friends, what we see, all drives us towards the wrong side of the scale. There are so many things that just cry out in this world, you know, worry about me. So many things cry out, say, be negative about this. Think about what doesn't last rather than things that do last. And that's one of the reasons I believe the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write the letter to the Romans. And he says this in Romans chapter 12, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," the thought process. "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." In other words, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. You and I, we will become like our greatest thoughts. It's simple as that. We will become like our greatest thoughts. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So you might ask, "Neil, how do I change my thoughts?" And I'm glad you asked that question, because I want to show you a couple of portions of Scripture and then tease out two thoughts tonight that can change the way that you think. So, how do you change the way you think? Number one, we're going to learn to capture destructive thoughts. Learn to capture destructive thoughts. If we're consumed with worrying thoughts, if we're consumed with negative thoughts, if we're consumed with earthly or worldly thoughts, we need to learn to capture those destructive thoughts. Again, the Apostle Paul challenges the Corinthian church because, unfortunately, they were believing so many lies. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, "For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of our world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Though we live in the world, the Apostle Paul says, we do not wage war as the world does. In other words, if you're a Christ follower here tonight, this is really good news tonight. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We have supernatural weapons available to us. Now, there are two Greek words in this text that are very interesting. The first one, translated as power, is the word dunamis or dynamis, depending on how you pronounce your Greek. Okay, and we get our English word dynamite from this word that is referred to as power in the Greek. It's all about the explosive power of God's word to demolish away strongholds. Now, the second Greek word that's translated as strongholds means very literally a prisoner locked in by deception or argument. In other words, think of those old world castles with dungeons, and that's a stronghold. That's what a stronghold is all about. The strongholds of your mind when you are locked up in wrong and false thoughts. Think about it this way. What is your spiritual enemy's greatest weapon? Anybody? What is your spiritual enemy's greatest weapon? Let me give you a clue. Satan, who is called the father of what? Lies. He's called the father of lies. Don't believe the Hollywood stuff that you see, okay? He's called the father of lies because lies are his greatest weapon. So what he tries to do is convince us of things that are not true. He tries and succeeds most of the time to manipulate our thought process so that we build our life on a lie rather than the truth. Because when you know the truth will set you free, right? So in verse 5 it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We destroy those things, and then what do? We take captive every thought that and make it obedient to Christ. We demolish the lies, the strongholds, and we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. So when we think and ponder on wrong things, that I can't make a difference, I'm no good, I'm never going to amount to anything, we pull that stuff up, we draw a line under it, and we say, no, I'm not going there. We take those thoughts captive, and we're going to make them obedient to Christ. So whenever your mind says, I can't make a difference, you're in trouble now, and you've really stuffed this up, in some worldly sense, that might be true. You might have actually messed up. But the good news is God works in all things to bring about good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Read Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's all about capturing wrong and negative thoughts before they capture you. That's the secret here. But capturing wrong and negative thoughts before they capture you, before they capture your mind and hold you prisoner in a dungeon of lies. Because the truth is, we have been created to be overcomers, the Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. The truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, verse 13. And so number one, the first thought, we take thoughts that are untrue, we take thoughts that are destructive, we capture them and we make them obedient to Christ. And the second thing that the Apostle Paul teaches us is very simple. After we capture the wrong thoughts, we fix our mind on spiritual things. We focus on the eternal. That means we see the good, we focus on spiritual things. Now, don't miss this tonight. This scripture that we're going to put up in a moment, it was written by the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. He was on trumped-up charges waiting to be executed for his faith. And so He said these words in Philippians chapter 4. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is bad and all the horrible things that could happen. Take revenge and slander and gossip at every opportunity. Sook, whinge and moan about what's not going well in your life. And then blame somebody else for your problems, because that will justify your sins. Did the Apostle Paul say that? Did he say that? I think I read that out wrong, you know. And right here is a classic example why you need to bring your Bible to church. Right? I could be telling you lies. I could be misquoting Scripture. And you need to see what God's Word for yourself is. But in fact, most of us don't do that, do we? Now, Steve, can you stop messing around and put the real Scripture up, please? Thank you. That was Steve's fault. Finally, brothers, listen to this, okay? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and God and the God of peace will be with you, okay? Most of us live out of the dodgy scripture that went up before, don't we, hey? We do. We sook, whinge, we gossip, slander, and we blame someone else for our problems. So we capture the lies and we focus our thoughts on that which is true. Philippians 4, 8 to 9 is true. We focus our thoughts on spiritual things. Now don't miss the power of this big idea in Philippians chapter 4. Some of you here, you are literally one thought away from having your life totally and completely changed. You're just one thought away from having your life totally and completely changed if you would stop believing the lies of the evil one and embrace the truth of our good and our gracious God. You're just one thought away from total and complete change, because when you know the truth will set you free. You fix your mind on spiritual things. The fact is, if you're a Christ follower, you can see God working if you look for it. If you look for it. You can find what you are looking for tonight. In fact, have you ever heard the story about the vulture and the hummingbird? Anyone ever heard that story? So what does the vulture do? Vulture flies around looking for what? Dead things, doesn't he? The vulture flies around looking for dead things, smelly, rotten, dead things. That's what vultures do, isn't it? That's what they do. What does a hummingbird do? What does it look for? What does it look for? It looks for nectar and sweet things, doesn't it? Every day, there are dead things to be found and there are sweet things to be found. And you will find what you're looking for. If you're looking for spiritual things, you'll find spiritual things. You look for spiritual things and you will see them everywhere. So how do we do that? I'm glad you asked again, okay? Let me just tell you how we do that. It's very simple. When you wake up in the morning, set the tone of your day with something spiritual. Every day, instead of immediately picking up your smartphone and going to Facebook or to Instagram and wondering, did someone like my post? All right. Let the first thing you do, or the first thing you do, is to think God's word, and just like read a chapter or read a few verses, and let your mind start to drift towards spiritual things. And then say a prayer. Let that be the first thing you do in the morning. But if you have to go to the bathroom, that's okay. Go to the bathroom, okay? Do that first, okay? But it doesn't have to be an hour's prayer. It can be a simple prayer. And let me give you a simple prayer that you can pray. It says, God, thank you for this day. I know it's a gift from you. My gift is to give it back to you. Use me, whatever and however you want. Help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Let me see where you're working. Guide my words, guide my thoughts, and create my actions to bring glory to you. God, I give you permission to interrupt me all through the day. Help me to see where you're working, and I will join you. And if you just pray that prayer in the mornings, guess what? You're going to seek nectar. You're going to see good things. You're going to see God working everywhere. And I'll email this prayer out so everybody can use it if you want to, okay? So instead of listening to whatever nonsense that comes down the airwaves of your car stereo or whatever nonsense comes down the airwaves into your home stereo, try intentionally listening to some spiritual Christian worship while you're driving in the car or getting some housework done. Renew your mind and feed your spirit. Create some forward spiritual momentum at the start of the day and make yourself sensitive to wherever God wants to use you next. So the choice is yours. You can be a vulture or you can be a hummingbird. Because as a person thinks, so they become. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Therefore, I will take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And I will fix my thoughts on things that are pure and lovely and admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, I will think about such things. So where do we go from here? How do we take this from something that we've heard to something that becomes part of who we are? Well, last week I challenged you to pray and seek God for one word that would direct your year. This week I want to ask you to do something different and prayerfully seek God, not for one word, but instead for one thought. One thought, one small thought that would or could result in a huge change, because it's often the small things that nobody else sees that results in the big things that everybody else wants. So one thought that you can think again and again and again until you renew or till your mind is renewed. A single thought that will become a truth in your heart. A truth in your heart. That it will change the words that you speak and the way that you live your life. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, says, a good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If you want to change the way you live, change the way you think. Change your heart. The choice is yours. You can be a vulture or you can be a hummingbird. Okay? Over the last 25 years, I have had a thought that I have learnt to think over and over and over again. When times got tough, when I've felt like giving up, I have had to tell myself, and often my wife has had to tell me on more than several occasions, I've had to tell myself, God created me to help people far from God to find a new life in Christ. God ordained, God equipped, and chose me to help people who were far from God to find new life or a new start in Christ. So God gave me everything I need to do everything that He wants me to do. And He wants me to help people who are far from God to find a new life in Christ. And that one thought determined the course of my life over the last 25 years. I've had to remind myself of that thought over and over and over again. This year, God gave me a word. I shared it with you last week. That word was health. And so I found a scripture that I really enjoy that encompasses that word health. And that's found in Proverbs 3, 7 to 8. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So I have a thought this year that I'm going to think. What can I accomplish with a healthy soul? What can I accomplish with a healthy attitude? What can I accomplish with a healthy mind? What can I accomplish with a healthy body and a healthy marriage? So now I'm thinking and I'm changing the way I do things. So what about you tonight? I don't know what your thought will be, but one thought could change the course of your whole life. Maybe Your word was your word that you thought of last week is selfless. And you know, so the thought could be something like less of me, more of Jesus. Less of me, more of Jesus. That's a good thought. That's a good thought to have for 2015. Maybe your word is generous, and your thought might be, I'm a generous person. You're not a generous person yet, but you're becoming one. I'm a generous person because I truly believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. And think about that again and again and again, and guess what will happen? You will become a generous person. You may be discouraged. Then renew your mind with these thoughts. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And it starts to change who you are. Because if you want to change your life, you have to start by changing the way you think. Because your thoughts create words. Words create actions. Actions create habits. And habits create a destiny and a future. As a person thinks in their heart, so they become. Your life always moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Therefore, we will not copy the customs and the behaviors of this world, but we will let God transform us by changing the way we think. Then we will know God's will for us, his good and his pleasing, his perfect will, because we do not fight with the weapons of the world. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we think about such things, and then the God of peace will be with us. Because as we think in our hearts, so we become. And other people may say, oh, but that's just a little thought. But we know the truth, don't we? It's so often the small things that nobody else sees that result in the big differences that everybody wants. And therefore, we will think on that which is true, and we will capture that which is a lie, because when we think on the truth, we know that the truth will set us free. So let me finish all that here, and I would love you now to bow your heads and pray with me. Let's pray together. Pray with me tonight as we close. Let's pray together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we pray today that in your presence, Lord, that you would bring or begin to renew our minds with truth, that you would give us all one thought tonight, one small thought that would help direct the course of our year and eventually and possibly even change our destiny. And as you take a moment to pray, I just want to ask very simply, very clearly, very directly, how many of you would say, yes, I will seek God for one thought. I will ask and I will think it again and again and again, and I will let that thought direct me this year. And if you agree to that before God, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me tonight, Pastor, before God, just amen, amen. Fantastic to see hands up. Absolutely fantastic. Please, let me pray for you now. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you that we can hear from you and that your spirit can direct us in things like this that seem so small to the natural mind. And God, we thank you that when our minds are fixed on you, that you begin to conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus. I pray that you would speak to everyone. Give us one specific thought, that this thought could change our words and therefore change our actions and therefore change and create new habits that would ultimately change our future. God, give us the power to recognize when we've been believing Satan's lie, and that we would capture those lies and make them obedient to Christ, to focus on one truth that would put our that we would put our minds to, and let that truth change us to become who you want us to become. God, give us that one thought tonight. And may we glorify you with a focused thought life for 2015. Only thinking on what and which pleases you. And we pray this in Jesus' name tonight. Amen.